Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's the best. Major is here, like all of our guests, on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. So far, things are great involving Israel, Hamas, and the ceasefire. Positive comments. Hostages potentially released Sunday, if not Monday or Tuesday. The President of the United States is right in the middle of this. As specific as you can be from your sourcing and talking to others, how much credit does the president deserve for what has taken place?
Substantial. I don't think there's any question about it. I don't think that there's any sense in the region that this would have happened absent the forceful and, as the Economist wrote yesterday, transactional and bullying diplomacy of Donald Trump. And the Economist meant that, as I said in my show open last night, as a compliment.
Yep. Right.
The Netanyahu government has had to do things it would prefer not to, make changes to the approach it wanted to take in Gaza and elsewhere, make assurances to all the various parties. The Turks, the Qataris, had to apologize to the Qataris for shooting missiles into Doha, mm-hmm. targeting Hamas negotiators there. Representations to Egypt, representations of the Muslim and Arab countries outside of the region. And those would not have happened, no one believes, without President Trump telling the Israeli Prime Minister, you have to do this or this can't go on, and I will begin to back away from your government if you continue the policies as they are. And it's also worth pointing out that because Trump, until recently, had backed Israel so energetically and without any real questioning, allowed Israel's military to carry out a ravaging and pulverizing war in Gaza that has almost, and this is an important caveat, systematically eliminated Hamas leadership, giving them very few options they've never had to face before. Their leadership was decimated. Their ability to function in Gaza was severely limited, and their support in the region had basically vanished. Hamas had very few alternatives, if any, to this deal. And that would not have been achieved had it not been for the pulverizing military campaign and all of the attendant civilian casualties that Israel was willing to tolerate, which it had never been willing to tolerate destruction of this kind before, never. It would never have looked in the mirror 10 years ago and said, this is the Israel that we imagined for ourselves. Never. But after October 7th, all calculations changed.
I agree wholeheartedly. The president deserves significant credit headed to the region. That will be an enormous moment. Because it's the Middle East, we don't know if this is going to hold for a month, a week, or 2 years. I mean, the history right. is fraught where you think you have peace and it's fighting over land. It's something intended happens, something unintended happens. But without a doubt, the president deserves a great deal of credit. And I think you touched on a big part there, Major, where Bibi Netanyahu had to believe Donald Trump that they weren't just words, that he has been such a forceful supporter of Netanyahu with the first term, second term. But when he's saying you're not getting a better deal than this, and you have to listen to me because we're not going to abandon you was not, I'm sure we're not the words, but we're going to start dramatically pulling back. And if we pull back, just wait for, I don't want to say your vulnerability, but where the public and the number of people who you thought were your allies 2 years ago, they're starting to shrink by the day.
Mm-hmm. Right. In the first Trump administration, there was a phrase that Jared Kushner often expressed privately in the context of the Palestinians and their aspirations. Cut your deal now. It's only going to get worse if you don't. And that proved true year after year after year of the Trump administration. Every maneuver the Trump administration took was a signal. We are backing Israel. Make your deal with the Israelis now, because if you don't, it's only going to get worse. And nothing happened. For the first time recently, the president and Jared Kushner turned to Bibi and said, take your deal now. It's only going to get worse. That had never directionally been put in his face before, and it happened this time. And look, it wasn't going to be a decoupling. Of course not. There's never going to be a decoupling.
No.
Under this administration or any other administration, Republican or Democrat, in the state of Israel, never. But for the first time, the president was saying, no, no, no. I'm shifting this now. The ultimatum is now facing you. Make your deal now, because my terms will only become more, not less uncomfortable for you, more uncomfortable. And you think you might have problems with the dissidents in your coalition government now? Wait until I press my case even further. So cut your deal now. Work with me. And it's important to have other regional partners, but also Pakistan, Indonesia, Muslim countries, big players outside the region also saying, we are now invested in this, because that offers the prospect of money and materiel and other forms of support for this governing technocratic institution that's supposed to govern Gaza, get Hamas out of there. All of those things are critical to the implementation. But to your point, lots of aspirations and hopes have been dashed in the Middle East. That's clear. But as many have written about this moment, this is different. We are not any longer in this conversation talking about this line or this neighborhood or access to this number of gallons of water or this number of people who can return or regain what they once had. All of those details were knotty and difficult and seemingly never ending. This is now much bigger. Plot of land, who occupies it, who's going to see it, where's the investment dollars come from, what does a civilian population not governed by Gaza look like, how do they operate, how they get access health care, basic fundamentals of life. All the other things have been pushed aside that offer some prospect that this could be different.
When I woke up today, I saw a headline and I just kind of kept walking, and it's the Secretary of Defense announcing another base with Qatar, whichever pronunciation we're going with today. And I kind of thought, okay, it's normal. And then I went, wait a second. Hold on a second. I need to look again, because we are now hosting a Qatari Air Force facility in Idaho. It's hard to be completely gobsmacked with the Trump administration. I was with this announcement.
Well, you know, when you provide a new Air Force
That's
One,
it.
I guess certain benefits accrue.
Correct. Ding, ding, ding. You get a plane that's worth a lot of money. And by the way, he's going to be using that plane a lot, whether he's still the president or he's on his own. So Qatar is going to have a base in Idaho.
Now we have, and for many, many years, have had joint training operations with Air Force personnel from lots of different allied countries. This looks a little bit more formal, more formalized, kind of has a permanence to it that's a little different.
Yeah.
It's not like coming in for a couple of months, get your training, go back home.
Yeah. Man, that was sick.
Now the Qataris would say, well, what do you think Al Udeid is? It's the largest base you have in the entire Central Command. It's
right.
American, and it's in our country. So, you know, how about a little
quid pro quo? Yeah.
Reciprocity.
Yep. It's Let me just say, if this would have happened under Kamala Harris, I would have been curious. Would have been very curious to hear some folks' reaction.
I'm sure Barack Obama had done this. It would have all gone down so nicely.
Sean Hannity would have been a big supporter. There's no doubt. He would have come out right away and said, great, great alliance. All right. Among our topics when we come back, Marjorie Taylor Greene and her spot, the Nobel Peace Prize, and what kind of food share is Major Garrett? All those coming up next on CCO. I'm going to talk Aquarius. I'm going to talk Kinetico and their drinking water system, because I could give you a lot on Aquarius. Started in 1987, earning the right to be recommended. Hey, where we're going in a couple weeks, you're going to need that furnace on. The water softer, and you know, your dishes are better. The shower and the bath is better. Your laundry's better. But let's zero in on the Kinetico drinking water system, which to many people is the calling card for Aquarius Home Services. Guess what? If you've thought about it, first of all, if you have it, bravo, because I've had one since 1993. That's how much I believe in the company. But this is your time. You thought, at some point I'm going to get go with Aquarius and get that Kinetico drinking water system. Now is the time. You can save up to 25% on the best drinking water system in the business. Track them down. AquariusHomeServices.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To suggest that the president of the United States' campaign for the Nobel Peace Prize may be the understatement of the year. It was announced today. He did not win. And in citing the winner, here's what the Nobel Committee said, which allowed her to win. And this is tied to Alfred Nobel's will for the selection. She has brought her country's opposition together. She has never wavered in resisting the militarization of Venezuelan society. And she has been steadfast in her support for a peaceful transition to democracy. Let's just be really honest. If that's in the will, and I'm sure it is, and you're honestly evaluating Donald Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize on those three categories, fail.
I'm sure that's the conclusion the committee reached. Maria Corina Machado won in Venezuela. And I just got an email from our White House producers. The White House confirmed moments ago or sometime today, President Trump called Maria Corina Machado, congratulated her.
Excellent.
And,
I like
and said that she deserved to win the Nobel Peace Prize.
Good.
So that's a recognition on the part of the president. That's a graceful act. Important, worth noting. I'm glad to note that because I just learned that. And for those of us who were lucky enough, as I was, to go to the award ceremony in 2009 for the Nobel Peace Prize, to witness the speech of one Barack Obama, who had just won it, we remember that newly elected President Obama said, more or less, you know, I probably shouldn't be getting this.
And, you know, he was right, don't you think?
Yeah, he was right. He was right. I mean, he didn't look out of that audience and say, y'all are nuts, but he came close.
Yeah. He still showed up.
Entering my life on the world stage. I haven't done anything.
Right.
I'm not a significant human rights figure. I've not been part of a non-governmental organization that's fought militarization or anti-democracy or authoritarian forces. I haven't done any of those things. I hope to live up to this, and I only tell and retell that story because that is one of the things that has stuck ever since in Donald Trump, the American real estate magnates, craw, candidate Trump, nominee Trump, President Trump first time, President Trump second time. And those around him believe that at least he deserves due consideration. But considering what's going on in the interior of the United States and with what has gone on in Gaza, even though the president very well may succeed, we don't know, in resolving it, the support for Israel in the context of civilian loss of life in Gaza would have the Nobel Committee would have a very, very hard time.
Well, and I also saw this a couple places, Major, that you had to submit the process of entry months and months and months ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so anything that's happened in the last couple months, including this last week, that's irrelevant. And it also points out again that if January 31st was also the requirement to submit someone when Barack Obama was president, he had been president for 10 days.
Yeah, exactly. There was a farcical component to that.
Yeah.
There really was. And it was essentially viewed as a kind of Nobel Peace Prize to America for crossing this racial threshold.
Yeah, right. Yes.
That's what it was. It was symbolic for what America, for the stage that America had come to be politically, and Barack Obama was the elected representative of that journey. And it was sort of the Nobel Peace Prize award to Barack Obama, President of the United States, sort of for the country writ large. And that's going, let's just say, a little beyond the will and a little beyond the historical definitions of that.
Correct. No doubt. Let me jump in because we got about 4 minutes left. I want to get to a couple of things here.
Yeah.
Dave, go ahead and play any bit of audio we have from you would sometimes you might listen to this. You might think this is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or it's Bernie Sanders. No, it's Marjorie Taylor Greene yesterday on CNN. Go ahead. Hit it.
I've been vocal saying, you know, you can use the nuclear option in the Senate. This doesn't have to be a shutdown. But what we have to do is we have to work for the American people. And our country is so divided right now. We see it all the time in every single way. It's divided in what I would say very dangerous ways. And we saw that with the recent assassination of Charlie Kirk, which has upset so many people across the board. And look, when it comes to hearing from senior citizens or my own friends and neighbors and my own family members and people that voted for me, and they're just saying, Marjorie, we just really want somebody to do something about health insurance premiums. We really want our government and our leaders to actually focus on our country for a change and fix our problems. That is the message I constantly hear from my district. And I'm a representative. I don't have to be a cheerleader for my party.
She also said the shutdown is the blame of her own party, blamed her party. What are your thoughts on Marjorie Taylor Greene and seemingly where she's moved a little bit the last few months?
Yeah, she's on what screenwriters would call a journey, a character journey. And it has potential political ramifications.
Yeah, it does.
She's still in the MAGA movement. Make no mistake about that. She still says Democrats should vote to reopen the government. She's not walked away from the principal writ large 30,000-foot Republican talking points on this. And I brought up that very comment that you just played with Speaker Mike Johnson on my show, The Takeout, last night. And I asked him, I said, Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying get rid of the filibuster in the Senate and end the shutdown with a simple Republican majority, which is theoretically possible. It would fundamentally change the Senate.
Dramatically.
Senate Democrats toyed with this. Plenty of them were advocating for it. And if it weren't for Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona and Joe Manchin of West Virginia,
right,
the filibuster would have been done away with. Mike Johnson said, I've told Marjorie, be careful what you wish for. You get rid of the filibuster now, someone's going to be in power in some point in time in the future, and they may undo whatever we've done and may do things that are harmful because they don't need the bipartisan requirement that the filibuster forces into being. But So that's your criticism of the Senate. Oh, just end the shutdown with getting rid of the filibuster.
Yep.
No one's prepared to do that on the Senate Republican side. Speaker Johnson's not prepared to do that. On health care, she's identified that, and she's saying we have got to address this. I raised this also with Speaker Johnson. He said we will, but he's not going to do anything on that, nothing, until the government shutdown has ended. I said, can you tell me a date when the House of Representatives will be back in session? He said, no.
They can be back in session.
They can
right
be. I asked
now.
Him about that. I said, you have pending appropriations bills. You could
correct.
Put them on the floor. No, we want to talk about those privately. And just before we went on, Chad, the clerk of the House just announced no votes, nothing going on in Washington in the House of Representatives next week.
Ridiculous.
Gone.
That's ridiculous.
Gone.
All right, we need to talk food sharing later, but we're out of time. 0 to 10, what kind of food share are you? 0, terrible, 10?
When you say food sharer, what do you mean?
You know, you want to share, like, here's you want to have a little bit of my spaghetti, you want a little bit of my steak, you know, you're sharing at a dinner.
Wow.
Okay, we'll leave it on that note. He's a zero. He's out of here.
Zero.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.